Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good afternoon, I should say. I almost said good morning. Happy Monday afternoon to everybody here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you, and also joined by Paul Hamilton here on WGR for filling in for Sabres Live this afternoon here, as plenty of Olympic hockey going on. Not much really going on with the Sabres, but Rasmus Dahlin, Tage Thompson, both very busy over in Milan, Italy right now for the Olympics. First off, Paul, good morning. I got to get good morning out of my head. I'm used to doing this with from 10 to noon with you, so I think that's why I'm all out of sorts. But good afternoon to you.
Well, I always say good morning anyway, so
yeah.
It could be 6 o'clock at night, so, good morning.
Yes. Well, we'll get to plenty of the talk surrounding Tage Thompson, Rasmus Dahlin in a little bit, but just an update for people who may be interested. Team USA on the women's side of ice hockey, they are playing right now in the semifinal round against Sweden. They just scored two quick goals, and they're out 4-0 now late in the second period. How much of that tournament have you been watching, Paul?
I really don't get into it because the games normally aren't all that competitive until Canada plays the U.S.
Right.
So I've kind of kept an eye on it, but to watch it, I have not watched a game start to finish at all. I've been basically concentrating on Canada, Sweden, and the U.S. on the men's side. And, I peek in just to see what's going on, but that's about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been trying to keep up on both ends of the spectrum here for the men's and women's over the last couple of weeks here. And yeah, the U.S. women are absolute just wagon. They are so good. They've got speed, they've got skill, they got a little bit of everything, Paul. And they, I don't think they've given up a goal since the, have they given up a goal at all? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head if I can remember, just because they looked so dominant against Canada, and they're doing much of the same right now here against Sweden. I mean, they're out shooting them 23-14. It's not like they're out shooting them, 35-3. But they're still playing an incredibly solid game against the Swedes here in the semifinal.
Yeah, and that game in Canada-U.S., I did see a lot of that game. As I said, I haven't seen one start to finish. But again, it wasn't your typical U.S.-Canada women's game, which is usually, crazy physical and really close and, either team could win type of a thing. It was a basic blowout. I mean, it probably was the most one-sided Canada-U.S. women's game I've ever seen.
Right. I agree. And I've never seen the U.S. go one-sided that much against Team Canada. And U.S. just scored again 5-0 now against Sweden. And actually, it's Haley Skamura scoring the goal. Western New York native getting the goal to go up 5-0. So Haley Skamura, I think that's her third goal of the tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, she scored two in the first game. Mm-hmm. And then hasn't scored. She's not there to score goals. That's not her role. She never has been. She's always been on the energy line. She always makes the team,
mm-hmm.
and she's always on the energy line. She's not on any other line. She's not on the power play. She'll kill some penalties, and she knows what her role is. She plays it extremely well, and she'll chip in a goal now and then, and she's got three of them, as I said, two in the first game.
Yeah. So looking back, Paul, I had to figure it out. Team USA has not given up a goal since the opening game against Czechia, and they won that game 5-1. And Czechia scored in the second period at the 28:37 mark. So they haven't given up a goal in the entire tournament since then.
And it's been stingy on the men's side, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at, Binnington let in the goal. He probably wouldn't want it back. But still, his goals against in two games are 1.0. Mm-hmm. And one has a save percentage of .952, and the other has a save percentage of .950.
Yeah.
And they both have a goals against a 1.0. So, it's basically, even if they let in a goal, I didn't particularly love the goal Hellebuck let in yesterday. It was the only goal he let in. They haven't had been real busy. I think Binnington had a little harder game than Hellebuck did to start off with. He had to make some pretty good saves in that game. Hellebuck has basically just been there when he's needed to be there and made the saves that he's needed to make.
Real quick, Paul, before we move back to the men's side of things, with the women's team, they've averaged now more than 5 goals a game. And, they haven't given up a goal since that second period of that Czech game. And that includes a 5-0 blowout of Canada. And I believe Canada, let's see, who are they facing later today? Canada is facing Switzerland coming up later at 3:10. So it'll be very interesting to see if the Canadians can get back to the gold medal game and perform any better against the U.S. because I think the U.S. is very solidly going to the gold medal game at this point. All right, Paul, let's transition over to the men's tournament of the Olympics because it has been very interesting to see how things have played out overall, including with both Sabres prospects Rasmus Dahlin and Tage Thompson. I guess we'll start off just generically. What has maybe taken you most by storm with the way that this Olympics have gone, the first Olympics featuring NHL players since 2014?
I'm not surprised Macklin Celebrini has done so well for Team Canada. He's second in the tournament in scoring. It doesn't shock me at all. I mean, it's just, I wondered how the 19-year-old was going to fare against most of the best players in the world. I'll say most because Russia's not there. But, he's just been great. I mean, he scored in every game. He had a penalty shot goal. He's got 4 goals in 3 games. And he's just been phenomenal. Just kind of picked up where he left off in his NHL season, where some people are putting him in the MVP category, the heart category. So I was really interested to see how he was going to do. And I've really enjoyed watching him play. Mm-hmm. McDavid has just been crazy. I mean, you put him in this spot, it's been insane what he's been able to do. What is it, 2 goals and 7 assists? I think he has 9 mm-hmm. points.
9 points in 3 games.
In 3 games. So, and that's with Crosby playing really well. I mean, Sidney Crosby has been Sidney Crosby, and it just makes me laugh when I see Team Canada and see their 3 centermen.
So, Paul, for
those of you who like to number lines, which you shouldn't be, but if you do, the leading scorer in the National Hockey League is the third line center for Canada. So,
well,
really? Nate McKinnon's your third line center?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enjoy, guys.
Well, Paul, get this. So, Sidney Crosby just the other day set a new Team Canada record at the Olympics for the highest scoring forward to ever play. 16 points. Connor McDavid in one tournament already is halfway there to beating Sidney Crosby. And mind you, they're still going to keep playing because they're going to keep adding to their totals. But, I mean, I learned that the other day where it was just like Jerome McGinley had the all-time record for NHL players at the Olympics with 14 points. And it shocked me because I was thinking, Sidney Crosby, this is his third tournament. He's got to have more than that, right? No, and I think entering this tournament, he only had like 11 points in the Olympics. And obviously now, he's surpassed that. 10 points, if you factor in, my math is always wrong. But he had 10 points coming into this tournament, already has 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists for the 6 points in 3 games. It is incredible that, we've never gotten the chance in the Olympics to see the likes of Connor McDavid, the likes of Nathan MacKinnon play. We've seen Sidney Crosby play, no surprise. But even like Jack Eichel, Austin Matthews, some of these other guys who are some of the best players in the NHL to have not gotten the chance to do it yet. We had to wait 12 years for the NHL to get back to this point to be able to go back. And it almost just begs the question, what was the NHL, the IOC, the IIHF thinking not allowing the players to go? And I know it's mostly an owner's thing for the NHL owners saying, no, we don't want our players to go. But why? Like, it just begs the question continuously of why?
I think it was a negotiation with the Player Association. I think it was part of a negotiation is the reason why. I don't know if it would want would be there. It was like, well, if you're going to get this, we're going to get that type mm-hmm. of a thing. And, you know, it's interesting. Now, Team USA does have two players who are in their second Olympics.
Yes, that would be...
because they played as college players last
Jake
time.
Jake Sanderson and Brock Faber.
Yes, sir. I knew you would know. But, yeah, so they do have two guys that are in their second Olympics because they played last time because they were college players. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, right, and they were college players. They didn't have a contract in the NHL. They were... You know, their rights were held, I think, at that point. I think Faber and Sanderson were both drafted at that time. But, yeah, I mean, again, watching the NHL players in the Olympics compared to the last two tournaments where the NHL players were not allowed, it is night and day at the level of competition that we see. And we were seeing, you know, teams like the Olympic athletes of Russia or whatever they were called, you know, for the last two tournaments. And then we saw Germany make that run in 2018 in Pyeongchang. And then the last go around was Finland winning the gold medal. And all of those teams did it without NHL players. They did it with professional players in their respective leagues. But the level of competition, I mean, we saw Derek Roy playing in the Olympics with Team Canada at one point when the NHLers couldn't go. Like, that's the level of competition. And that was Derek Roy in upper 30s, maybe pushing 40. Like again, I cannot believe that the NHL or, you know, whoever it was that made this decision, you know, before 2018 to not let them go back to the Olympics and compete. Again, as you mentioned, negotiations, that happens. I get it. But whoever thought was a good idea to not let these guys go back and get eyes glued on the Olympics and get eyes glued on international competition and kind of making this a big thing like they have done this year very well. I just don't get where that did not, those paths didn't, you know, cross, or however you want to put it, how they could not allow them to go back over. It blows my mind still.
Yeah, and I love having the best players there, but what it also does is there have been a lot of games that maybe have been competitive for a half a period, mm-hmm. if that, or a period. There have been a lot of non-competitive games, and, you know, that leads to Connor McDavid having 9 points in three games, and he's got another
yeah.
powder puff coming up
yeah.
as he gets the winner of Czechia, Denmark. So, I mean, he's liable to get 3-4 points in that game too, and he might get a semi-powder puff game after that because I think they would get Slovakia, Germany, or France if they, you know, advanced out of that. So they could have two more powder puffs coming up. Where Team USA with the second seed, and it's just because of Sweden, the division, that's the group rather, I should say, mm-hmm. that Sweden was in was so competitive, they wound up the third seed. Three teams wound up 2-1. That people were asking me, why did Sweden pull their goalie when they were ahead? Because they were trying not to be in third place in their group.
Goal differential
yep. between the three teams, which were Finland, Slovakia, and Sweden. So that's why they were trying to do it. They didn't want to be the third seed. Because they're there, the U.S. is the second seed in the tournament, and they have by far the hardest path out.
Absolutely.
Because they likely are going to face Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And that is tough.
And Sweden, Sweden should have played better in the group play as well.
Right. Well, they were 2-1.
Yep.
And they lost to Finland rather handily, which allowed Finland to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Finland was the second seed. Slovakia, by scoring that goal that made the game close against Sweden, got the number one seed because of it. That's why Sweden pulled their goalie
yeah.
to try to get that out of there. But, you know, so here's the U.S. with the second seed. I mean, Slovakia will face the winner of Germany, France. Finland gets, who is the best second place team, gets the victor of Switzerland and Italy. And the U.S. has to sit there and probably play Sweden. And if they win, we'll probably have to play Finland.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it worked out. I'm not complaining. I'm not saying it's not fair or anything else. It's the way that goofy group wound up seeding because of that Slovakia win to lead off the tournament.
Yeah.
And it put Sweden down into third place. And here are the U.S. I mean, the U.S. you would be favored in both games, but they could lose either game. I mean, especially if a hot goaltender shows up.
Right.
But Sweden's not the worst team in the world. I mean, yeah, Sweden comes and plays their best. U.S. could maybe be in trouble. It's just, it's circumstances that made them the second seed, but they by far have the hardest route to a gold medal matchup if they get there.
Right. And I mean, the U.S. had the easiest path probably to a top seed in the tournament facing Germany, Latvia, and Denmark. Yeah. I mean, probably the best team after the United States was Latvia, and the U.S. handled them pretty easily. Canada's route was a little tougher. I mean, Switzerland's a good team. Czechia is certainly a tough out. And then you have France, who probably is one of the teams that doesn't make the tournament if you have Russia and probably Belarus able to qualify for the Olympics, but they've obviously been barred from competition because of their conflict with Ukraine. And then, I mean, the one thing, Paul, that I'm going to say, and it didn't matter because Group B was a wagon itself, but enough with the tournament host, having the host nation take part in the men's hockey competition. Italy has no place being in a tournament like this. They
it's
absolutely
been like
have,
that forever.
I
had that as a kid.
It's insane.
I remember we had a national tournament in Rochester. Rochester was in our league. I mean, so, you know, we had won the sectionals in the States. Rochester had no business being in the national tournament.
Yeah.
There they were because they were the home team.
Yeah.
And it was so that's has been as old as I am, and just, even in kids hockey.
This is the best international competition in the world. If you want to play on the best international stage, you have to compete for it. And you give credit to France. You give credit to Denmark. You give credit to Latvia, Germany, too. They all had to qualify to get to that stage. They got there. To just hand Italy a spot because they're the host nation. Get out of here. Get out of here. Just no. Italy had no place in this tournament. I mean, they somehow made it competitive against Sweden. They didn't really have much of a chance against Slovakia or Finland. And yeah, they're probably going to get run out of the building when they face Switzerland. They're going to get run out of the building.
That doesn't bother me as much as over the years sitting there watching a gold medal be decided by a shootout.
I just wanted to
set myself on fire watching that. It was just like, are you kidding me? So I would rather have Italy in the tournament than watching a shootout to decide a gold medal. Now, I understand in the NHL, you know, if you're in the building, shootouts, the fans get into it. I don't know if they like it or they don't or how they would react. So I'm always like, if the fans like it, doesn't matter if I do or not, you should do it. The NHL should always do what the fans want. And then, but they drop that once they get into the playoffs. And, all right, you had the fun in the regular season, which sometimes you get some garbage points out of it that do affect the playoff race. But, to decide a championship on a shootout, I mean, if the Super Bowl is tied – and then in overtime, it's still tied. What are they going to do? Set up garbage cans in the end zone and then the quarterbacks throw at garbage cans? Is that, it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm personally a proponent of getting rid of shootouts in the NHL. I think they're too gimmicky. They've become too gimmicky. And
I agree, but fans seem to do. I mean, when you're there, fans are into it.
Yeah, I guess.
But I agree with you. I don't like it. I'm a purist. But I've always kind of relented because, as I said, I've sat in the building of a lot of shootouts, and the fans do seem to enjoy it.
Well, here's I know we're getting a little off topic from the Olympics talk, Paul, but I do want to bring this up because in the NHL, the shootouts have gotten gimmicky and teams more so want to play the possession game. And when they don't want to shoot the puck or they don't have the lanes to shoot the puck, they just decide to skate laps around the ice. They'll skate back to the neutral zone or even skate back into their own end, or even in some cases pass back to the goaltender so they can continue the puck possession. I mean, personally, if I'm me, I bring back ties, and if the team's tied after a 5 minute or a 10 minute overtime, whatever they want to negotiate in terms of how to put out a winner out there, if they can't score, neither team should get a point in the overtime period. You want to create some urgency from these teams, from the players, to get the game winning goal, to find a resolution to the game, a win, a loss, whatever. But if you can't find a way to score in a 10 minute time frame, a 5 minute time frame, I don't think there should be a tie point. You bring back the ties, but don't bring back the point.
Well, you know this better than I, because you used to be with Jeremy White and Howard Simon for a long time. How many years has Jeremy White talked about three-point wins?
He's still talking about it. I'm still talking about it. I'm absolutely a proponent of
the 3-2-1. So you know exactly what he's been, the campaign he's been on.
Yeah, but this is the whole no point awarded after a tie thing is certainly something that I'm going to continue to strive for, just because you want to bring some urgency to these games. Get these games more exciting once they hit overtime. They should be exciting. Don't play for a tie. Don't play for a shootout, because it's gimmicky. I understand the puck possession point. Whoever has puck possession, whoever's trying to go out there and do more to win the hockey game, absolutely. But at the same point, when you're skating around in circles, when you're not firing pucks on net, when you're just – there's no chances being generated, that's boring. That's boring. Generate some urgency and some fun in a game. Make ties be almost a punishment, I guess. But then, you know, people would say, well, why not just have the shootout? And it's just like, because, again, the shootout point is just ridiculous. I don't like shootouts, and I just think if, even then, create some sort of way to complicate matters with the standings. I know a lot of people like to do that with other things, but I think if you do that and a team ties, two teams tie, no team gets awarded a point after that game, then... oh, man, look at that. We played for a tie. What is that worth? Oh, yeah, the other team behind us, they just got 3 points and a win. That would wildly swing things in those standings, and I think that would be fun. I think that would be great for hockey.
I would. By the way, I'm going to just apologize to people. I do have a rather large cold here. I don't have a cough button, so I'm trying not to cough into the microphone, but if you hear me, I do apologize with that.
Apology accepted, Paul.
Yeah, I get a chance to have a little time off, and what do? I get probably the worst cold I've had here, so it's great, but hey, that's all right. I'm here anyway.
Eh, we appreciate you being here. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550 are the numbers. If you would like to chime in with your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Olympics, how maybe you see something from the Olympics that you would like to bring to the NHL level, or vice versa, something from the NHL that you feel the Olympics should bring in and make it more fun and entertaining, we're more than happy to take your phone calls at 803-0550. I'll save the Thompson Dahlin talk a little bit, Paul, for when we go into the next segment. But let's look ahead to the qualifying games that are going to be taking place, the first round of the playoff games. You know, four games in action: Germany, France, Switzerland, Italy, Czechia, Denmark, and Sweden and Latvia. Of those matchups, Paul, which one intrigues you the most as maybe one that's of upset caliber?
Maybe Latvia over Sweden. Maybe, as I said. they're all have the potential to be clunkers.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing with NHL players in this tournament: you're going to get clunker games. You're going to get quite a few of them until you get probably, you know, into the quarterfinals on Wednesday. Then I think you might have some better games to watch. Not the best games. I don't think the best games are going to come our way until the semifinals. But and that's when they're really going to be tight, and they're really going to be. That's why, you know, Connor McDavid has been 9 points in three games, and he's got maybe two more powder puff games coming. Then I don't know if he's going to be getting 3 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, we may be watching 2-1 games after that. I mean, look at when Sidney Crosby scored the overtime goal against Ryan Miller, how tight that game was.
That was a great game.
yeah, it was a great game, but it wasn't 6-5.
No, no.
I mean, you know, it was two really good teams going at each other, and as good as I think Team USA is, and I think Matthews has
I'm Sarah Austin Jeunesse, The Moth's executive producer and longtime host of The Moth Podcast. Every week, we share true stories told live and without notes by real people from all walks of life. Stories about disastrous haircuts, May-December romances, photographing Pluto, fighting for justice, and so much more. Some stories make you laugh, some make you think, and many stay with you long after they're told. Discover the power of story. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stepped up to the plate. I mean, that Sabre game he played, he had 3 points, and I still watched him. I go, he just is not into this game. But he's so good, he can get points when he's not into the game. I just thought his body language is just blah. But now I think he's shown up. I think Eichel and Matthews have been the best players for Team USA. But when you're talking about McDavid, Crosby, and MacKinnon down the middle for Team Canada, we haven't talked about anybody else. Just what they have down the middle.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Binghamton has, over the years, shown up in the big time. He's been awful. I mean, his numbers are almost some of the worst in the NHL this year. Now, I wasn't real into his second game. Didn't think he played all that well in that one, but he still only let in two. But he just seems to come up big when he's out there for Team Canada or when he's trying to win the Stanley Cup for the St. Louis Blues, when he came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in the organization, but the organization had loaned him out to another team. And then he wasn't even on their AHL team.
Yeah.
And then they're in last place in January. I remember that because Buffalo had just been there. Buffalo might have been the game that was their first one to get them that turned it around. And I remember Binghamton was in the locker room and I saw number 50 and I'm thinking, who's this? You know, I'm looking on the sheet type of a thing. And next thing you know, he backbones them to a Stanley Cup, he and Ryan O'Reilly. So the guy does show up in the key spots, but he is also has the potential to be a big problem for them.
So I'll give you my team and who I think could be a potential upset. I'm thinking Denmark has a really good chance against Czechia. And here's why. Denmark got a win yesterday over Latvia. They played Freddie Anderson, who obviously plays for the Carolina Hurricanes. And when Freddie Anderson is on top of his game, he's one of the best goalies in the world. And it's so amazing because when he's healthy and he's playing on top of his game, he's unstoppable. Then there are other times where he gets hurt and then has to miss some action, or he just hits a lull and is not good at all.
I've never loved him in the playoffs.
I know.
I've liked a lot of his regular seasons, but I've never loved him in the playoffs.
Right, which makes it so interesting because, especially, with a tournament like the Olympics, anything can happen. Anything can happen at any given point. So if Freddie Anderson is good for Denmark and can shut the door, I mean, Czechia has the likes of David Pastrnak. They have Marty Nečas. They have Tomáš Hertl. But other than that, their offense is kind of far and few between. They got shut out by Canada in the opening game. They beat France, which that's kind of a given. And then they lost in overtime to Switzerland. Czechia is beatable. And I think if Denmark can find a way to get some goal scoring from Nikolaj Ehlers or Oliver Bjorkstrand or some of these other younger guys that they have on their roster, and then they get the goaltending from Freddie Anderson, I think they got a chance to at least upset Czechia. I mean, they upset Canada last year at the World Championships. Like, that was one of the biggest wins in their, arguably the biggest win in their nation's history. And if they're able to do that again and have a solid performance, I think they can upset Czechia and have a chance to play in the quarterfinals.
Well, regular season, Freddie Anderson has to show up.
Yep.
There's no question about that. And, I wouldn't say that's not possible. No. I mean, yeah, certainly that would be possible. I would say, if you ask me who do I think is going to win the game, I would say Czechia, yeah, but I wouldn't say Denmark's out of it by any means. It'll be interesting to see how that one goes down.
803-0551, 888-550-2550. A quick update from the U.S.-Sweden women's semifinal game. Third period action is underway. The U.S. still up 5-0. Haley Skamura, Western New York native, scoring a goal in that one. We'll step aside, take a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue our Olympics talk with the latest thoughts from Paul on the play of Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin, as both of them are getting ready to move on from group play. Sweden is going to have to play in the qualifying playoff game, I guess you could say. And then obviously Tage Thompson in the U.S. getting the first round of those playoffs off. And then they will await the winner of Sweden and Latvia. Your phone calls are welcomed. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And you're listening to WGR.
Sanderson winds it around. Larkin trying to set up Keller. Back out. It comes to Thompson. Score! Tage Thompson, 4-0. Team USA. What a one-timer this is by Tage Thompson.
Yeah, nice little bit from Tage Thompson there against Germany and USA's 5-1 win yesterday in Italy. The U.S. finishing a perfect 3-0 in group play in the Olympics, and they will await the winner of Sweden and Latvia coming up in the play-in round portion of the playoffs in the tournament. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton with you here once again, filling in for Sabres Live today here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Paul, we've seen a little bit of an interesting sort of play from Tage Thompson here in his three games. I mean, he hasn't gotten a ton of ice time. He's been seen mostly power play time here in his time playing for Team USA in the Olympics. But, you know, in the games that he has scored, I mean, he scored the power play goal with that nice little backhand touch right in front of the net. And then the other yesterday, he blew that one-timer high from the high slot in for against Germany. And, you know, two goals and averaging, what, just a little over 9 minutes of ice time throughout the tournament. Not too bad from Tage Thompson at the least.
Yeah, and that power play goal by Thompson, he's the one that gained the line. He and Eichel came up through the neutral zone with speed, and he used Eichel kind of as a decoy, gained the line, did a really nice job, and was the one that got the puck over to Matthew Tkachuk, and it wound up Matthews scoring in front of the net. He didn't get an assist, but really it was his play that allowed them to gain the zone to get in there. Tage Thompson is just, there's nothing happening. He hasn't done anything wrong, or he is just in a spot of, we're the New York Rangers. We have two. We decided our GM is part of the guys picking the team. So we're going to put two guys on the team who don't belong here, who don't even close to belong here. And then we're going to have the New York Rangers head coach be the head coach. So we have to make sure we get them going and get them in the lineup and have Clayton Keller watching the first two games.
Yeah.
And then have Kyle Connor watching the next one. So we can have our own guys in there who, by the way, don't even belong there, who should be in their living rooms watching this. And Tage Thompson has been involved in that, because what's happening is you can dress an extra forward. So both Miller and Trocheck have dressed as the extra forward. And when they're that, they alternate with Tage Thompson on the line. They'll take his spot. And then they were taking Connor's spot for a bit also.
Yep.
So
I knew I was going to get you riled up today, Paul, about
and
this.
The reason Connor got benched is because Thompson's on the power play. Thompson might have been sitting in the stands because you got to have those New York Rangers in the lineup. I mean, their coach is, I mean, he's a faithful coach. I mean, he's watching out for his guys, And Chris Drury is watching out for his guys and convince Guerin that, boy, you got to have JT Miller there to screen your goaltender on one of the few goals he's given up. So, you know, he at least got to have a few goals go in. So that's what's happening to Tage Thompson. He has to alternate with the Rangers, who just have to get their minutes.
And when he's out there, Tage Thompson is more often than not generating offense. I mean, he's got 7 shots on goal. He's a plus one, 2 goals in those 3 games, and he's averaging 10 minutes and 3 seconds. I thought it was just over 9, but he's averaging
well, he's
just over 10.
He's been around 9 in 2 of the games. What? I didn't look at his ice time in the first game. It must have been quite a bit. I'll look at what
you're
talking.
Yeah, but I mean, when he's out there, he's generating offense. It is kind of baffling to me how he's not playing more so. But I'm trying to remember which broadcaster it was yesterday during the broadcast talking about Tage. I want to say it was either Eddie Olchuk or Brian Boucher that said that, oh, part of the reason why Tage Thompson made this Team USA team after not making the Four Nations team was because he's a right-handed shot. It's like, yeah, I mean, sure, that's an excuse, but, I mean, he's a much better offensive talent and a better threat and presence than a guy like JT Miller or Vincent Trocheck. I said the same thing about Brock Nelson, but Brock Nelson's actually been fairly good in this tournament, so I'll take back those comments about
Nelson.
And he
does have 29 goals this year. Now, how much of that is for the team he plays on?
Exactly.
Yeah, Thompson played 11:34 in the first game. He played less than 10 minutes in the other two. So that's what popped him up a little bit, playing at 11:34.
Yeah, Tage Thompson should be playing more. I mean, he's on a line with Dylan Larkin, and at one point it was Kyle Connor, and then eventually it was Clayton Keller, and that's another guy that I think should get more playing time is Clayton Keller, because he's a stellar talent.
Are you kidding that he's in the stands?
Clayton Keller
so
was the captain
Rangers
of Team
play?
He was the captain of Team USA at the World Championships that just won the tournament.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing leaving him off the ice?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that's what Team USA is doing. And I think, you know, they almost put Fox on the team, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you would have 3 Rangers that didn't belong there.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they decided, well, we're going to have trouble getting away with the 2, so we better not put the 3rd on here.
Yeah, and I mean, they have Jackson Lacombe sitting in the press box every game when maybe you could have had a guy like, I don't know, Lane Hutson playing for Team USA.
That was weird, wasn't it?
It's a weird. A lot of the decisions that they've made with this team are weird. Maybe not a lot of them, but a handful of them, I'll say. You know, Trocheck, okay, I can maybe understand his two-way presence is fine. JT Miller makes zero sense to me. Jackson Lacombe makes zero sense to me. The fact that
Miller makes way too many mistakes. Trocheck at least can kill a penalty for you.
Right, exactly. He's a solid two-way guy. And the fact that Jake Oettinger hasn't even sniffed a game yet this year is way beyond me, because Jake Oettinger is way better of a goaltending option than Jeremy Swayman is, and I think Jake Oettinger arguably is better than Connor Hellebuck at this point right now, because Hellebuck has struggled for most of the season.
You know,
not
why
only that, but he's been hurt.
You know why it was Swayman?
Let's see, because Jeremy Swayman is second cousins with Chris Drury and also has some family tie relation to Bill Guerin. I don't know.
No. Nope. World Championships.
Right. Because
he was stellar.
He was, yeah, okay.
He was
right.
Really good. So I think
I forget Jeremy Swayman was the goaltender.
That
there.
Might be the reason why they gave him the opportunity
whatever.
Over Oettinger. Did Oettinger play in the Four Nations at all?
I want to say he got 1 game in the Four Nations.
And I want to say it didn't go well.
Jeez.
But I don't remember sometimes, right? But I want, for some reason, it's sticking in my head that he played and it didn't go well. I don't know.
Jake Oettinger did play in the Four Nations. He lost his only game, which probably would have been against Sweden? They lost to Sweden, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they won the first game against Canada, or did they lose both to Canada? I'm trying to remember. Why am I blanking here?
I'm blanking on it too. I want to say they might have beaten Canada in the regular, but again,
yes, they beat them. They beat them in Montreal, and then Canada beat the U.S. in Boston. That's where the correlation is. But yeah, 206 goals against, 913 save percentage in the 1 game that they lost.
Yeah, 913 isn't bad. Maybe the types of goals he gave up. Something is sticking in my head that it didn't go well.
Sure, but
I just don't know.
I think Jake Oettinger.
And then Swayman, it did go well, just like it did for Thompson and Keller.
Yeah.
At the Worlds, although Keller just finally got his first game.
Yeah.
I think Thompson's performance at the Worlds and Miss Swayman's, you know, probably, I don't mean to sway their decision that way.
Let's be realistic, Paul. You could have probably split all three games among the three goaltenders, and then whoever had the better performance of the three, you probably could have just said, yeah, let's ride with them in the quarterfinals.
Sure.
Could have done that.
Could. Yeah, absolutely.
Any final prevailing thoughts from Tage Thompson, Paul? I know that he's been mostly the extra forward, other than power play time and a couple other shifts here and there. But people are
coming with these conspiracy theories and everything. It's really simple. He's in a numbers game with New York Ranger players and a New York Rangers coach. That's all it is.
Yeah,
he's done nothing wrong. The coaching staff isn't mad at him. He's not benched. It's just. He's the guy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we got to play our own players, and this is how we're going to do it. And Tage Thompson is going to be the guy that takes a seat, or Connor is going to be the guy that takes a seat when they're alternating. That's all it is. It's just a rotation.
Well, from a guy who doesn't play a whole heck of a lot in the playoffs due to numbers, to a guy who has played substantially in the Olympics so far, and that's Rasmus Dahlin, who's been phenomenal, in my opinion, Paul. I think he's been arguably one of the best defensemen overall in this tournament. I mean, maybe along with like Cale Makar, but I think it's been him and Rasmus Dahlin as the best defenders overall in this entire tournament.
Well, for the folks who don't, I did tweet it out, but who didn't see it, he did lose one of his assists in the first game. He originally had three. The one he lost, and I've watched the play numerous times, I don't see what they're seeing. But they get a closer look at the shot. What happened was Dahlin was on the wall. He put it in the middle for Bratt. Bratt takes a shot, and a rebound just comes flying out to Forsling at the left point, who scores. Raymond's in front of the net. I do not see the puck hit him. I think it went between his legs and out.
Yep.
Out to Forsling. But they changed Dahlin's assist to Raymond.
It's the double
Raymond
eye,
got
Jeff.
Got the first assist. So that means it was when he was in front of the net. They're saying Bratt's shot hit the goaltender, hit Raymond, and then went out to Forsling.
Okay.
I cannot see that on the replays. I've watched the replay five times.
Yep.
But I also don't have a close-up of it either to see if it did maybe nick his skate or a stick or something coming out.
Yeah.
But it looked to me like the rebound came out between his legs. But they went through it and changed it. So since they changed it, they probably needed to be sure. So maybe they had a closer look that they could see that it went off Raymond's stick or his leg or something.
Sure, I guess so. Another defenseman that's been really good in this tournament, I should not exclude him, is Quinn Hughes. He's been Team USA's best defender, and he's been just so good. But other than that, Rasmus Dahlin is arguably a top three defenseman in this entire tournament. Just the way he looks at both ends of the ice. He looks super solid, composed. He's not afraid to get pucks towards the net. It's a lot of the similar play that we've seen him play with the Sabres this year, Paul. I think that he's certainly been looked at as a top player at his position, and he's doing what he can to make a difference from the blue line. And I think for Sweden, yeah, their tournament hasn't gone maybe the way that they've seen, but Rasmus, it's not at the fault of Rasmus Dahlin. He's been arguably one of their best players.
Well, it's about time. The Four Nations was just, I thought he played very well at Forsling there, but he didn't play either special teams. He's now on the power play and is produced. He didn't play in overtime. They had a couple of overtimes. Carlson, who is one of the worst Norris Trophy winning defensemen I have ever seen defensively, he is just awful defensively. Offensively, yeah, he's great. But he was out there for about 30 seconds. I know I figured it out when the Four Nations, in two overtimes combined, he was out there for approximately 30 seconds combined and cost them two goals. And Dahlin did not play in either overtime.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what are you doing? I mean, it just made no sense to me whatsoever. Now he seems to be getting more respect as one of their better players and getting the opportunity. I mean, he's out there ahead of Carlson now on the power play.
Yeah, out there ahead of Victor Hedman, too.
And you could have people who are listening to us in Buffalo scratching their head going, well, why? He doesn't do anything for our power play, if I'm a fan saying that. And I always think to myself, now the Sabre power play isn't as bad as a lot of people make it out to be. They're right in the middle. You know, they're around 15, 16.
Yep.
They're right in the middle. They've scored in six consecutive games on the power play, but some of the other power plays within those games have been horrendous. So people are saying, well, the power play stinks. Yeah, but they've scored in six straight games on it. You know, and it's actually helped them win a couple of hockey games along the way. But I agree a little bit with a fan that's saying, I just sometimes wonder with Dahlin as the quarterback why the power play isn't better, you know, here in Buffalo. And it has been better for Sweden. And, you know, he's been getting the opportunity. One thing I've been seeing for Sweden, like his overall play, he's been much, much mobile. He is really flying around the offensive zone. You know, he's not afraid to get involved into the play, which has produced goals for Sweden. He just, not that he doesn't do it with Buffalo, he just seems to be doing it more in this tournament than he does with the Sabres. So when he gets back, we may see a different Rasmus Dahlin because of the way he's playing, maybe even a guy with even more confidence. Because how many times this year have you heard him say, I have more? You know, he hasn't been happy with his play a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and because, you know, he's a perfectionist. And
hey, guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least four shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. With the new year upon us, there's no better time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and, I hope, entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Playing pretty good is not good enough to him.
Yeah.
And he wants to be better. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays once he gets back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how he plays, how Thompson plays as well, and some of the other guys. We'll get to some Sabres talk more tomorrow when we host from 12 to 1 again as well. But to close out the Dahlin conversation, a goal, three assists for 4 points in three games, plus two, 15 shots on goal, and is the only Swedish skater to average more than 20 minutes a game, and he's beyond the highest on-ice average guy, 22 minutes for Team Sweden. All right, we'll wrap up the show when we come back, and then we'll make way for a special week of guest hosts coming up here as Brad Ryder and Tim Graham are going to be hosting from 1 to 3, and that'll be some fun talk of Buffalo sports and everything else that's kind of happening in our landscape here. But we'll wrap things up when we come back. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton here with you on WGR. All right, one more last quick segment here on WGR. Paul, anybody that you see making the gold medal game in the men's tournament other than U.S.-Canada?
No, but there could be an upset. I mean, again, this is the time where a goaltender can steal you the game, and you're not the better team. You got outshot 50-14, but you made 49 saves, and you win the hockey game. So that's the problem with this type of a setup. But, yeah, it's by far and away, the U.S. and Canada are the top. By the way, did you know, very quickly, the top six scorers in the tournament are all number one overall picks.
Yes.
Top six.
Yeah, that's insane. There's a reason why they're the top picks. Yeah, I'll say U.S.-Canada gold medal game, but if there's a team that I'm going to pick to make a run, potentially an upset, I'll say Slovakia. I love Slovakia, man. They are so fun to watch. All right, making way for Tim Graham and Brad Ryder coming up here on WGR for the next 2 hours. Paul, thank you. We'll talk again tomorrow. And, yeah. Brad Reiner and Tim Graham coming up next for a special two-hour show that they're going to have all week for you right here on WGR.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.